Thanks for that introduction to the song. Jeff Hodges leading that song, Mended in Whole, and it's a wonderful hymn. Donald Alexander preached the gospel many years, and I didn't even know he passed away last year. 1946 to 2017 is when he had lived in California, and went through the background of the hymn already. And if you'll notice, as you look upon the words, you can tell where he got the words from. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, what we'll do is that we'll read through the chapter. And as we have studied 1 Peter recently, and think about the words, you think about the words of the hymn and the scripture that he's using, you can see that reflected in the stanzas that he wrote. Here, 1 Peter chapter 1. The Apostle Peter, by inspiration, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them they were not serving themselves, but you. And these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. If you address as Father the One who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in the last time for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls, for since your love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, to the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which is preached to you. Therefore, chapter 2, verse 1, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And think about the words that were written here. As you think about in the stanzas, oh, how great the salvation in Jesus that the prophets of old testified. Even angels desire its revealing, praise and glory to Christ crucified. We see specifically 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, concerning angels desiring to reveal, desire its revealing concerning what the prophets of old were testifying about, the great salvation in Jesus. The Hebrew writer is writing to those who are in danger of neglecting so great a salvation in Hebrews 2 and verse 3. In Acts chapter 3, the Apostle Peter in the second gospel sermon in Acts chapter 3, he spoke by inspiration here when he said and he wrote here, "And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your rulers did also. But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Therefore, repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus, the Christ appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient time. Moses said, 'The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. To him you shall give heed to everything he says to you. And it will be that every soul that does not heed that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. And likewise, all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and his successors onward also announced these days. It is you who are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with your father, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. For you first, God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways.'" You think about the wonderful hymn that is reflected from the Word of God, because when you think about in all of eternity that they prophesied about these things that were to come to pass. And of course, God being creator of the universe and knowing all things that are going to happen before it happens, that the Christ would suffer. The prophets testified about this great salvation, the desire of the angels to know it, and praise and glory to God. You think about the testing and the trial that would be upon Donald Alexander to see one who had obeyed the gospel and in weakness went back to his sinful ways and died in those sinful ways. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Well, that didn't concern the trial that he went through. In 1 Peter 1, verse 7, "The proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Praise and glory to Christ crucified. And when you think about concerning any subject, when you talk about the salvation in Jesus Christ, sometimes those would say, well, it's just the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. That's what they preached on, and yes, they did that. But when you think about everything the Apostle Paul dealt with in the book of Corinthians, as they were suing one another, had a problem with eating things sacrificed to idols, concerning the problems of marriage, and we see concerning the women's role, and concerning the 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, concerning the spiritual gifts, and even the resurrection of the dead. When he wrote all those things and rebuked them to correct them, the man who had his father's wife, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we see that the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, was preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. And we must never forget that as we think about the Word of God and dealing with the topics relating as you look upon salvation in Jesus Christ, to how great the salvation in Jesus. And second stanza, "As a lamb that was led to the slaughter, not a threat, not a word did you say. Help me, Lord, when my heart fills with anger. Your example I will not betray." He betrayed his Lord, obviously, by going back to sinful ways and giving into anger. "But your example I will not betray." And we shouldn't betray as we see his example. In Isaiah 53, which I studied recently in Brett's class on Sunday morning, Isaiah chapter 53, we see the fulfillment, of course, in Jesus Christ, as we know, Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53, in verse 7, Isaiah says by inspiration, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like the lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shears, so he did not open his mouth. We see that not a threat nor a word did you say when you think about the temptation that he could have had concerning to take vengeance upon him. Remember, he could have called 12 legions of angels to spare his life if he so desired. He had all that power at his command, but you know, he didn't threaten them. He didn't say a word in response. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in the second chapter, after we read the first chapter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, in 1 Peter chapter 2, the Apostle Peter talked about the example of Christ for us. 1 Peter 2, verse 21, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. While being reviled," notice it, "he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats," reflected in the hymn here. But what did he do? "But kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed, for you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls." He entrusted himself to him who judges righteously. The Lord didn't give in to anger here. Help me, Lord, when my heart fills with anger, because there's a great danger that is there. I'd like to reflect upon Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, because we have to have self-control. When you think about the devil hitting us at our weak point and the temptation when we're filled with anger to say words that will hurt and damage and destroy people's souls, we have to be very careful as we think about anger being one-letter sort of danger. Just add the D to the beginning of anger there. In Ephesians 4, in verse 26, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, said, "Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity." The devil is going to have an opportunity when we, with anger, don't have that self-control. When we talked about this morning, the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit, and as we think about what should be in our heart is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. Self-control, the last one, having that control of self. We see that Cain didn't have that. The sacrifice that he offered wasn't pleasing to God. It wasn't in accordance with his will, while Abel's was. And so God spoke directly to, as you look upon Cain, "You must master it. You must rule." And he didn't rule his anger. And he slew his brother. We have to be very careful. Attitude and mindset of our author, "Help me, Lord, when my heart fills with anger." Do we ask for help from our Lord when we're filled with anger? "Your example I will not betray," because as we look upon his sacrifice, that we die to sin, that we die to that old person of sin, and we live for righteousness. "For by his wounds you were healed." We're going to see that reflected in the chorus there. In the third stanza, "I've been saved by your word that is living to a love that is fervently pure. Precious blood from your cross brings redemption with a hope that is living and true." See, they're all reflected in 1 Peter chapter 1 that we read. "Your word is living." Hebrews 4 verse 12 talks about the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. No creature hidden from God, but All things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. The Word of God cuts deep within us. The discernment of soul and spirit, as you think about concerning the Word that is living. It's not a dead letter. As we think about the fact that we'd be born again to a living hope, to a love that is fervently pure, because in verse 22, since you have an obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. You have been born again, not as seed, which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, the living and enduring Word of God. The Word is living. And so if the Word is living with us, we're going to have that love that is fervently pure. As you think about the example of Christ, who fervently loved all people, willing to give His life and purchasing our redemption, as we see His precious blood. We weren't purchased with silver or gold, with the precious blood of Christ, verses 18 and 19. With a hope that is living and true, going back to the first beginning part, verse 3, born again to a living hope. What a beautiful thing to think about the words of this hymn. So in the chorus, it said, "You are threatened for me, you are slandered for me. Every thorn, every nail, every tear was for me. Sweet the thought that my soul may be mended and whole by my Lord who is broken for me." You think about concerning, well, wait a minute, I don't know about that part as far as broken me. None of his bones were to be broken. Back in the Old Testament, has been prophesied. And 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20, 24, though, as we think about some of the translations mentioned in broken and some don't, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 24, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, he took bread, of course, in verse 23, and when he had given thanks, he broken and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The King James, New King James, concerning broken for me, and it is there. I looked and made sure that it was there in the Greek text there, the Greek word there concerning broken. The Lord broken for me, the words given by the Holy Spirit, if you're concerned about that. My Lord who was broken for me. That doesn't mean that concerning his bones were broken for us, because in accordance with fulfillment of prophecy, his bones weren't broken. But he was threatened and slandered. The thorns and the nails. Jesus, by the grace of God, tasted death for everyone. This cruel and agonizing death on the cross should all humble us, that we can be mended and whole, that we could have fellowship with God and fellowship with His Son Christ, being reconciled to God through Him in accordance with God's will. Do you need to respond to the gospel invitation? You recognize the love that Christ had for you. Why not obey the gospel tonight? Why not be baptized for the remission of your sins, or be reconciled back to Him once again, being restored through repentance and prayer, while we stand and sing the song of encouragement?
Save you, your sins as crimson glow. If you give your heart to Jesus, He will make them white as snow. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come, come today. Come to Jesus, do not tarry, enter in at mercy's gate. Oh, delay not till the morrow, lest thy coming be too late. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come, come today. Come to Jesus, dying sinner. Other Savior there is none. He will share with you his glory when your pilgrimage is done. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come, come today. This time will be dismissed in a word of prayer.
Pray with me, please. Our God and Father in heaven, we're thankful, Father, for another beautiful Lord's Day. We're thankful, Father, for all the many blessings that you give to us.